amidst the backdrop of a world that seemed to be constantly at war. On December 11th, 1792, a young woman named Anna gave birth to a son. Now, this should have been a joyous occasion. This should have been a wonderful time for her because, after all, she was beginning to remember and hear the story of another young woman whose name was Mary, who would be giving birth to a son, whose birth would be celebrated just a few days following the birth of her own. But, like Mary, Anna was unmarried when the child came. The father of her son was a mercenary soldier who deserted both the army and Anna and her child, leaving her there alone on her own in the world. She took the last name of the father, Mohr, M-O-H-R. But as in the custom of the time, he was given the first name of his godfather, an official of Salzburg who didn't even show up at the baptism, sent a representative to sign his name, Josef, and the child became Josef Mohr. He was the chief executioner of Salzburg, the godfather. Well, someone took an interest in young Josef because he sang in the choir at the university church. He sang in the choir at the Benedictine Church of St. Peter. He attended the Benedictine school and later the Lyceum there in Salzburg. He was a well-educated young man. He was a musical young man. He was something of a poet. And throughout all of this time of education, he began to perceive a call to the priesthood. He had all the gifts. He had a fine education. He had a fine intellect. He was musically trained and inclined. He was good with words. There was only one thing standing in his way. As an illegitimate child, he was barred from the priesthood without a dispensation. Maybe it was the influence of the Benedictines, we don't know. But someone gave him that dispensation to attend seminary, to study for the priesthood. And when he finished, he was appointed as the assistant priest in a little village outside Salzburg named Mariafar. And during the winter, 200 years ago, of 1816, as he went visiting his parish and walking back and forth from his church to where he lived, he began to imagine the night on which Jesus had been born, the circumstances of their birth being very similar after all. He knew it was in a very different place, in a very different time, in a very different climate. But he imagined that the night surrounding him at Mariafar was like the night Jesus was born, and it was cold, and it was clear, it was quiet. There was a canopy of stars and a bright moon that gave light to the whole landscape. And it was so quiet. The hush of the wind, not even the whisper of a breeze in the few leaves that were left, or the cracking of the ice-covered limbs to break the silence. He took out his prayer book and in the margin began to write a poem. He wrote, "Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, alles schlaft, anwacht. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright."
Oh.
2 years later, in 1818, the young priest had been moved to another small village called Oberndorf. Again, he was the assistant priest. But on Christmas Eve of 1818, he decided he wanted to have the poem he had written 2 years earlier set to music. So he walked the 3 kilometers to Arnsdorf, where Franz Gruber lived. Franz Gruber was a school teacher. He was also the organist and choir master at the Church of St. Nicholas, where Josef was serving as assistant priest. He brought the poem to his friend Franz and asked him if before the midnight service he could compose a tune. Why the urgency? Well, there are lots of legends that grew up around this. Perhaps he was just a procrastinator, like some of us that I know. The legends don't say so. They say that for some reason, the organ at the church there was not operable. Stories have been created about a mouse that chewed through the mechanism that allowed the wind to blow through the pipes to make the music. Perhaps it was just an old and cranky and cantankerous organ. Perhaps Josef thought that a guitar would be a better accompaniment to the words that he had written 2 years previously. In any case, he sat down with his friend, with this musician who, on the spur of the moment, within just a matter of a few hours, wrote a melody that we still sing today. It was sung for the very first time, Christmas Eve, 1818, the Church of St. Nicholas in Oberndorf. And don't you know that in a world filled with hatred and warfare, the message of comfort and the witness about a child who was born to be Prince of Peace, about a child who was born to put an end to war, to transform hatred into friendship and love and compassion. Don't you know that was a comfort to all those gathered there? Is it not a comfort to us today when we hear those words spoken about the baby Jesus, but also spoken to the whole of creation? Schlaf in himmlisches Ruh. Schlaf in himmlischer Ruh. Sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace. In that night of collaboration with Franz Gruber, the poem that this young priest had written became probably the best known Christmas hymn of all time. Translated into more than 300 languages, sung all around the world on this night. But what you may not know about Joseph Moore is that as he moved around from small village to small village serving as priest, he gave the vast majority of his very small stipend to charity. And there are villages in the Alpine region of Austria where he began schools for children who were too poor to attend the regular schools and made sure that their family had the money to send them to school, taking them under his wing as someone had taken him under their wing. He also, in those villages, organized groups to care for the aged, those who were too old or infirm to care for themselves would not have to fear that they would be alone and uncared for. Most people don't know that about the man who wrote the poem, whose words we sing tonight. He died on December 4th, 1848, just a week short of his 56th birthday. And he left a legacy in the region where he served, serving both the young and the aged. And he left us all a song for the ages. Thanks be to God.